Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
Let me talk! 1, 2, 3, 4!
With the Luton game being the filling in a sandwich made up of a delicately poised Champions League tie with Real Madrid, Saturday's result and performance was probably the best way the weekend could have gone for Manchester City. And then Sunday happened. The most interesting title race in Premier League history has just become the most boring. Just you watch this space. I didn't see City's game on Saturday, so let's talk about it with someone who did. This is Let Me Talk. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent, Sam Lee. Hello, Sam.
Hold on a minute, I thought you were watching it. I was watching the Masters and the Grand National. What do you mean?
Nicely done.
Yeah. I was there. I didn't see any of... I feel a bit of a fraud today. I didn't see any of Sunday's action.
That's all right, because I saw a lot of it. So there we kind of balance each other out there.
All you're going to hear from me from now until the end of the season, well, last week, but following the Liverpool game on SofaScore, get the notification after 14 minutes that they're losing, you think, well, that is too early. Like, forget it. And then you just think, that surely not. But, yeah, they've shit the bed then.
Yeah. The Arsenal one
was even madder, really.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it's a turn-up for the books because I was expecting to have to be really patient for Liverpool and Arsenal to shit the bed. And then in the meantime, hope that City didn't shit the bed as well. I certainly didn't think that I'd get to this evening and have two lots of shitty sheets in my hands, but here we are.
Good, very good. The old dirty metaphors out in force. I mean, we have had an email about this. I'm throwing your running order out the window immediately.
Oh, no, I've got it in there, mate. I've got it in there right at the top, but if you want to read it, go for it.
Well, no, I'm not going to read it. That's your job. But I did have the same thoughts as, like, I think it was before the Arsenal game finished, after they went one down. Maybe it was even before the Arsenal game, but I was like, oh, like, suddenly, you know, if I'd have just gone to the end of the season, City playing well, Arsenal or Liverpool just keep winning and go, oh, well, look, the points were dropped earlier in the season. City were there. They were committed. They went for everything. It's no disgrace. Crack on. Fine. Three in a row. Still pushing. Did what they could. Fair enough. But now it's like, oh, shit, they'd better win it. And it's like the pressure's on now. And like the players won't care about that. Like they've had plenty of pressure. It doesn't matter. Like they'll be delighted. But like, I don't know, I'm sure from a fan point of view, as Danny will point out in a second, it changes things slightly because now it's like, it's literally in City's hands, but it just feels like, the reaction to it feels like it's not just in City's hands, but like it's done because obviously as soon as City do anything, it's over, isn't it? But especially so today.
Yeah. I don't know who Danny is though, because it's James that emailed us. So I'll read that one out instead.
Fuck's sake. Sorry.
He says, for some reason, when we were 1 point off Liverpool and Arsenal, I felt calm. I'd like to win a fourth title in a row, make history, but after a treble, I'm grateful, not greedy. Most league run-ins are sickening and not fun. This time was different. Chasing with no games in hand, calm. Until now. With City back to the top and with the title hours to lose, I'm nauseous. Six awful weekends await of six must-win matches. Especially since goal difference is wobbly. Anything could happen, especially with two teams on our tails. We could slip up, hours to lose now. I'm sick, but I guess there is nothing I'd rather feel.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite go that far, regardless of the name of the person who sent it. Yeah, sorry about that. it is a different feeling. But also, like I said before, with the men in black pen, like Arsenal and Liverpool are playing twice before City do. And look, maybe Liverpool, if they have shit the bed, then maybe that's it. You know, maybe they'll drop points again. Maybe even Arsenal will. Who knows? But if those two teams win, you can imagine the Sky coverage for that Brighton game. Whether it's the Wednesday or the Thursday night, like, the pressure's on Man City. But it will be on City. Like, because if those teams go above and City don't win, then they won't be top.
Back to square one, yeah.
And then it's back to where we were. And, you know, the 115 charges can go away again for a bit until someone slips up again. So, yeah, I wouldn't go as far as saying, like, everyone's going to feel sick about it. But it is an interesting little dynamic shift. But, I mean, to be fair, before we get to that, you can only really enjoy how Sunday played out. Like, when City went top on Saturday evening, you think, well, that is just for 24 hours, isn't it? Like, somebody's going to win at home. You kind of expected how it panned out. I didn't see it until after the game, the Van Dijk slip when Mateta nearly scored. Mateta can shift as well, can't he? He's absolutely massive. But he can really shift. But he is huge. Like Diaz always does, but I say always. I might be forgetting my match, but Diaz normally handles him pretty well, but he always gives Diaz a hell of a battle, whether it's in the air or running in behind. He's a proper handful.
Yeah, but I was just going to point out as well, like the two teams that have helped City out this weekend, Palace and Villa, like those were two teams that they were really tough games for City over the last couple of games, and City just kind of went like it's almost a little bit more, without playing on Sunday, it's almost a little bit more evidence that City have headed towards battle mode again, because like in battle mode they came up against these same teams and went, right, okay, just got to get the job done, and then got the job done.
Yeah, like some element of luck playing like not a top Villa in terms of the lineup they had available, some injuries, some rotation, You get certain bits of luck with the fixture list, you get bad luck with the fixture list, and it is what it is. But yeah, going to Palace away, going 1-0 down and just cracking on, like we said last week, we don't need to go over it again. And then, yeah, they go to Anfield. But I mean, I don't know what has happened with Liverpool, because that the third goal they conceded against Atalanta the other night was genuinely like, they have enough charity games, don't they, in the international break, where they can do the we are not worthy arms to Ian Rush or Robbie Fowler or whoever it is. But it looked like charity game defending. They were just kind of running back like, oh, we better make some effort. But they were just absolutely all over the place. Like, what has happened to this lot? Like, proper... I mean, look, they can carry on winning their games again now. And you just go, what was that about? That was weird. But it looks like a full-on capitulation, especially with the result on Sunday. Like, losing to Palace at home with them scoring after 14 minutes. That isn't normal for Liverpool, is it? Do you remember, we were coming home from a City game earlier in the season. Was it Everton? And Brighton scored at Anfield. No, it can't have been Brighton because they played recently. Somebody scored at Anfield the same day as City played Everton. And you just think, at Burnley, I think it was. You just go, forget it. Like, it's too early. They're not good enough to hold on. But to go 1-0 up, nearly two with that Mateta run through in the first 20 minutes and then hold on. Something's not right with Liverpool there. I mean, fair play if they can't. I don't even want to use the phrase turn it around, but it feels like they need to turn it around because I don't know what they're playing at.
I was at the wedding I was at over the weekend. I was with a Liverpool fan, and funny enough, the thing he said on Saturday was everyone was talking about how good it was that Liverpool were winning points from losing positions, and that they had the best record in the league from a losing position. And he said the thing that worries me about that is that it'll catch up to you at some point. And then lo and behold, the very next day it caught up with them.
Yeah, well, Guardiola said like the mind games had gone cold because they were embargoed until 10:30 on Sunday. But Guardiola said something like the big difference between us and the other teams, he goes, obviously we've been good and blah, 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 is them getting points in the last minutes. Like, that's been a big difference. And I mean, if he'd have said that in the non-embargoed section, and even if nobody had seen it until afterwards, somebody would have dug it out and then everyone else would have gone, mind games, rah, rah, rah. But like, that hasn't even seen the light of day. And it's just gone completely the other way anyway. But yeah, in terms of it catching up you eventually, I remember Carragher saying all season, like, now Liverpool can't win the league, they've got no control of matches. But then it's never seemed to stop them. You know, all that period where they didn't have Salah, they had loads of injuries in the new year, and they kept getting the wins, got that win at Forest. You just think, it's not going to be an issue. We're sitting there thinking, when are City going to click? Are City going to get better? Like, you could easily think the same for Liverpool, and it looked like they had done. But it's just very unusual. Like, nobody expected. Like, even the most pessimistic kind of Liverpool hater in the world thought, well, I mean, them going out of the FA Cup to United was good because that was the end of the quadruple talk. But everyone kind of thought, oh God, you know, Klopp's going to win the league. They'll win the Europa League. No, and maybe they still will. But nobody's expected this kind of massive blip. It is very unusual. Anyway, is this a City podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about City because we're about 10 minutes in here and we've barely touched on the game that we're actually supposed to be analysing.
I'm sure people will handle us talking about Liverpool being rubbish.
Yeah, that is true.
How did United get on?
Let's kick off with Guardiola's thoughts after the game on Saturday, Sam, because I thought the easiest way to kind of analyse it was to just kind of dig into what he said to start with.
Okay, that's me, but...
Yeah, this was his first answer in the first press conference where it literally doesn't matter what the question was. He was just going to tell us his thoughts about the game. This is what he said.
Yeah.
And the second goal was, I would say, not tight because we played really good. We had a lot of chances in the first half. We missed something in the finishing, but we could create a lot. He didn't concede, but... How many times I've seen in world football a team that's better, and at the end don't win the game? Many times, and always one series. After second and third was okay, we consider third one unnecessary, but it's football, it's happened that in general the performance, considering Madrid between the games, the guys perform like we are. So we are close to qualify the Champions League. The people say, okay, Pep, what do you say? No, you have to qualify for the Champions League. And with the feat with Tottenham today, we are closer because for the stability, for many reasons, well, all the clubs knows how important it is. It's the biggest target every season, qualify for the Champions next season. We are closer today. And a part of that, yeah, today we'll sleep top of the league. We'll see tomorrow and, yeah, 6 games left. We know what we have to do.
There we go. Little did he know when he was talking about that, how good his Sunday would be. But I bet he was playing golf or something, actually. But he wasn't paying attention. Given Real Madrid, rest, rotation, all that sort of stuff, how was it kind of performance and result-wise in that context? Because result-wise, obviously it's great, 5-1. They've scored a couple of last-minute goals, a couple of late goals to kind of add a little bit of flourish to the score. The rhythm could easily have been broken, but catching up on it afterwards, it didn't seem like it particularly was. I mean, they took a lot of players out and kind of rotated a bit, and it seemed to still flow quite well.
Yeah, very well. It was an unusual first half. I tweeted that I wanted to say it was end-to-end, but it wasn't the City end. It was like the halfway line, because City were as dominant as they normally were, particularly in that first half, but Luton weren't sitting back. But the game kind of became stretched as a result. Like, City were often in space. Like, De Bruyne was just in space in between the lines. Like, how often does that happen? But at the same time, City didn't really get anywhere because the finishing was poor. But Luton very rarely got out of their own half either. So it was just this very unusual spectacle where it was the usual City dominance, but not against a team that sat deep, against a team that tried to do something. But as Rob Edwards said afterwards, you know, they tried to be open, not necessarily open, but let's just say in the British culture, have a go from the start. And they had De Bruyne playing Haaland in behind after like 40 seconds or whatever it was. And obviously that led to the goal.
Yeah, I did find it funny that City scored like in 2 minutes with their third chance of the game or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, you get to half time and even like to about an hour. So in terms of the rhythm and the rotating players and all of that and getting the win, perfect. The performance was very good, but it was just unusual in the sense that you get to about an hour and you think, well, you know, thinking about goal difference. But even if you're not thinking about goal difference, like just the amount of times, like Pep mentioned there, they'd have a chance and it would just go to nothing. Like, do you remember last season against Bournemouth at home when De Bruyne was running through, he had Haaland to his left. Everyone was thinking, because this was like peak Haaland mania or early peak Haaland mania, and everyone's saying he's going to go to the left. And De Bruyne was kind of dropping the shoulder left and right. Which way am I going to go? And then he just curled it with the outside of his foot into the bottom corner.
Yeah.
It was an amazing goal, but it was a great run as well, like proper, like full pelt De Bruyne. He did that yesterday, but this time he had Alvarez to his right, so we gave it to Alvarez, and it was like peak Sterling. Like, he delayed it. He didn't have a shot. He kind of went to check back, but I think barely touched the ball. But then when he went to actually cross, he kind of messed it up, and like the air just went out of it completely. There was a chance cut back to Nunes that was just a bit of a poor finish at the keeper. Nunes flashed one just past the post, put one across the face that nobody was there for. I think there was some. I think Nunes put two across, and one was cleared away by Luton. One went all the way through, and you just think they should be well clear of this. And then in the start of the second half, you think where are the goals? Like, this is just annoying. Like, I didn't have the feeling. Like Pep said, how many times in football do you see a team that's so dominant but they don't win? I didn't have the feeling that Luton were going to get anything, because I thought even if they make this 1-1, City are just going to go, right, hold on a minute, let's go and score the goal. And whether that would have included bringing on Foden or whatever, I didn't have the feeling that City's result was ever in jeopardy. But it was just unusual. And then, obviously, it gets to 3-0, you think, this is more like it. And then they concede the stupid goal, and you think, all of this effort for, like, a 2-0 contribution to the goal difference, It feels like a bit of a waste. And then they get the goals in the end anyway, and you go, oh, couldn't have been better. Like, 5-1 in a game when we talked about the Leicester game and the Leeds game last year, games they still won, but it got a bit edgy because of the amount of changes that they made in between Champions League games. But this was like, when I saw the team, I was like, that's a really strong team. But there are changes anyway. Like, it felt like that time earlier in the season when you looked at the bench, you just think there's nothing on there. That feels like a long time ago, because obviously those guys on the bench were never going to get a game unless it was that desperate situation. But they were all there. Obviously Stones was at home. Guardiola said he's got some niggles. He's not injured, but he said he felt uncomfortable, so they didn't want to risk it. Ake was back, Walker was back on the bench, Foden, Bernardo, Rodri, all the guys like that. But the team on the pitch, you think, it's fine, particularly for Luton. You know, talking about luck with the fixture list, Luton at home is a nice one to have. And then talking about looking ahead in terms of the title race as well, if City do get through to the semi-finals, Wolves at home is a bit of a pain in the arse, but it could have been worse. That like, even Wolves away would have been a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah,
but Wolves at home, not too bad. Before Olivia Rodrigo home.
Yes. Yeah. That's. Anyway,
I want to do both. By the way, that'd be a fantastic evening.
Yeah. Have you got tickets for that? Because
no, I haven't. But
my partner was trying to get tickets.
Too bloody hell.
And it's nigh on impossible. So yeah, good luck with that.
Is it really? Oh, right, okay.
Coming up after a short ad break, there'll be more about the game with Luton. See you shortly.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
Rodri, Grealish, Bernardo, Foden all rested, as you said. De Bruyne, 80 minutes after missing midweek through illness. Abdallah got in touch on the emails to say, can you give us an assessment of our build-up minus Rodri? Because obviously he's the key player in the build-up for City, and well, in controlling pretty much everything for City. Guardiola had said ahead of the game he wasn't going to play, and he was going to get the rest. What were they like building up without him?
Well, when I said then the team still looked strong, and then I immediately kind of segued into it's Luton at home, because if you've got a midfield of Kovacic and Nunes, and with elements of Akanji moving up into it, that could easily be a horror show. Like, there have been times this season where that kind of scenario has been a disaster. And you could say that in a completely different context, and you think, not for me. But yesterday it was fine. Like, Akanji moved up at times in there. Like, Lewis was popping up everywhere. And there was no issue. But again, it wasn't like they were playing out through pressure, really. An interesting point, actually. And we already mentioned this after Madrid. I think I might do an article on it at some point. You know, the value of Haaland being on the pitch but doing nothing when he gets the ball,
yeah,
versus Alvarez being on the pitch and maybe having 50 passes, but there's not so much threat in behind. Even though, and I've seen enough clips of him at River Plate, even though he can do that, it's not really how City use him. So that threat in behind kind of disappears unless they do decide to use it out of the blue as like some kind of wild card. Now, that's an interesting conversation. Obviously, Guardiola's decided that it's the Haaland way. But he talked about it again after the game. He said, like, Luton liked to press man-to-man, but they had to change that, and that's because of Haaland. And Jack asked him on Friday at the press conference, like, you know, the point that had been made by some City fans, like, Haaland against Real Madrid was occupying two defenders, and that helps give space. And Guardiola was like, yeah, like, that is the point. So it was interesting how, obviously, the fact that they've been absolutely scarred by him scoring five against them at the Kenny in the FA Cup. Carry on. I still haven't worked out that segue after I do an off-the-cuff joke. but here we are. So they had to change their plan. So, yeah, in terms of the build-up, it wasn't like they pushed up and Rodri's replacement was under pressure. It was like often City could get up to the halfway line fairly unencumbered. Like, even for the goal, the Luton goal, they'd, you know, sometimes City have to knock it around three or four times out to the wing, back into the middle to Rodri, then it goes back, and then they manage to get out. But, you know, for the goal, it was Diaz passed it square to Ederson from a goal kick. Ederson just banged it into Nunes, and they're out, and Nunes should have carried on up the pitch, but obviously he messed it up. Mm. It wasn't an issue, but again, like, if you're telling me, or if you're asking me, is that going to be fine for future games if Rodri's not there? Not really, like, not necessarily anyway, because it was a fairly forgiving
circumstance, yeah,
playing a fairly forgiving kind of way. But in terms of the 90 minutes itself, it more than did the job. Like, I thought basically everyone was at least good, which is a hallmark of quality, isn't it? Everyone was at least good. But yeah, like you say, if they're trying to make it interesting and get stuck in, and Haaland's running in behind after a minute, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, things seem to be going okay if that's what's happening. Guardiola was asked afterwards also about City's recent form, and we kind of touched on it earlier with the kind of general picture chat where just kind of looking at the fact that, you know, Arsenal have stumbled on Sunday, Liverpool stumbled on Sunday as well. And City have recent results, put four past Palace, put four past Villa, put five past Luton, you know, three past Real Madrid. And okay, there was like the issues we talked about the Real Madrid game in that game. They are comfortably the best opponent that they've faced recently, but they have faced some good teams in various different ways recently as well. It kind of feels like City are building into some sort of form, and Guardiola was asked about it after the game. This is what he said.
We spoke to the players, how incredible it is to be here again. Before the game, we spoke, guys, we have to admit it, so what a privilege. After we have done the previous season, still fighting for the Premier League, 1 point behind, 20, now 80 points, 21 points left, and Wednesday we're going to play against Real Madrid, you know, chance to qualify for the semi-final. With all the energy our fans will bring, all the best positive moods they will bring to us to be here. an FA Cup next Saturday against Chelsea to reach again semi-final, final FA Cup. So what a privilege to live here. To imagine to be no chance for Premier League or no chance for the competition. So try to extend one more week and one more week and one more week. You know, go there one more week. And in Premier League, we have one more week. We have a chance because they know we drop points, no chance. And they will not do it. If today, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow against us and Liverpool, but no win today, they won. They will win 100%. The only way we can do is win our games, put pressure, and they make them feel that Luton is difficult. Okay, we score 5 goals. So this is the only message we can do. Our game, the 6 left. And after, if you are not able, congratulate them, but we have done our job. It's what we have to do.
It's really funny hearing his comments, like with the context of knowing what happens the day after, isn't it?
Again, but again, if those had come out yesterday, Saturday, people would be going, oh, mind games. But like, it's just how he feels, isn't it? And why wouldn't you feel that? I think everybody agree. I did think the Arsenal-Villa game would be interesting in terms of it being between two European games, but it's the same for Villa as well, and they played on Thursday, so it shouldn't really be any easier. It's also interesting because last week at Palace, I was asked to write about, you know, this is City's time of year, they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, yeah, but who knows? And then Guardiola in the press conference was really downbeat about it. So I was like, okay, I can tie this all together and say, this is normally what happens. All the stuff I usually say about going on a run and blah, 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 you can't guarantee it. But if you want to say they always going to, and they always will, then fine. I tied all that together, but I was like, I couldn't find a perfect quote from Guardiola or anybody else when, because he's always kind of hinted, or at least I've always like read between the lines and got the feeling that they need to be in this frame of mind now to be at their best. And earlier in the season, it's not like they're complacent or they take their eye off the ball or anything like that. It's just not the same. And it's, now is the time.
Do you know what I liken and it to? I it feels like, you know, You know how when you're at university or you're at college or something and you get set an assignment where the deadline is 6 months away and like in the first 2 or 3 months, you can't really get started on it. You can't really do anything of it because there's just no pressure like the pressure of a deadline. And so as soon as the deadline is there and looming, you suddenly go, oh, shit, I've got to get this done. And you start kind of motoring through and you get into kind of work mode and are able to do it. It's kind of with the season. As the finishing line comes and you realise that actually we're running out of points, of opportunities to get points, you just have to start picking them up.
I had that tonight. So you messaged me at 12 minutes past seven. Because we were, for the benefit of the listeners, we were going to record at 8:30. And you messaged me at 12 minutes past 7 saying it's going to be closer to 8:45. And I was like, look, that's absolutely fine by me. I'm going to do a bit of exercise, watch the golf, whatever. Like, that's loads of time, like whenever. And then as it got closer, I was like, I'm going to be fucking late for this. Like, I'm not, because I'm just like pure like tortoise and hare scenario. Yeah. Like, I've got all the time in the world here. So, yeah, I know that very well. But then after the game against Luton, He was saying that like in October, November, he said like, you know, we didn't like take our foot off the gas, but it's just not the same. And I was like, well, I am going to be using that quote maybe 6 or 7 times in the next couple of years. Well, in fact, probably up till next season if that's when he leaves. Like, because that would be the one thing that you would sum up City. Because it's not like they always go on a run at the end of the season. Because in 17-18, they did it from the start. In the pandemic season, they did it from what? December.
Yeah, it was the middle of the season, wasn't it? Yeah.
March-ish. They do it at different times, but obviously last season and the one before, it was at the end as well. And there was 18-19 as well. So there is growing evidence they do it at the end. But generally, they just do it when they need to do it. But it is interesting. Like, I don't know, 17-18 was obviously an outlier because they had no reason to feel complacent. They had to go for it from the start, didn't they? Like, if it was ever going to happen, it's happening now. That was how they would have felt. Mm. And then in... No, God, what would that have been? 3 years later, you're looking at it in terms of the next time there was a run that wasn't late. And it was because they weren't playing well. And, you know, Fernandinho got them all together, et cetera, et cetera. And they went, right, we need to do this now then. Like, they were sparked into it then. But it seems like that spark does come naturally. Again, this kind of time of year. But in 18-19, it was February. But that was because they lost at Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they won the 14 afterwards. So there's either a spark to get them going earlier because, you know, they're already miles behind. And it's like, oh, we've got to do it now or never. Or it just gets to the end of the season. And, you know, Guardiola always says, as he said in one of these clips already, one. Like, they're all knackered. They all want to finish, but it's just 1 week less, one game less.
Mm.
Just keep going. Give me another week. Give me another game. Let's see what happens. Give me Real Madrid. Let's see what happens. Give me Chelsea. See what happens. And yeah, this is the situation they're in. Like, they need this to kind of feel something, which is, you know, it's interesting because you can also look at it and go, why don't you just do this from the start? You know, are they competitive? Whatever. But it's like, are the other teams, like, they can't rely on that. You know, when they get to this stage, it's not what they like. It's not good for them. But we're talking about City needing this to thrive. They are built differently.
Mm. This is the form thing as well, is that, we're in a situation where, you know, City are currently leading the league table, but that could all change it probably will change by the next time City play in the league. And as you said before, you know, like, there is the real possibility that between now and the end of the season, City do also drop points as well. So it's by no means anywhere near done and dusted. But at the same time, you look at kind of this situation that they're in. I mean, you're talking about, you know, teams, about City needing it to be there and other teams, you know, kind of falling under that pressure. Look back in the autumn. Like City's autumn was 16 points from a possible 33. That's less than half the points available that they could have had in that run of 11 games. And you just kind of, like the idea that it suddenly becomes inevitable because City do this at this time of year, you've got to have built up a bigger lead. It's like, well, build up a bigger lead then. Actually, if you're so worried about City doing this, don't let them do it. Get too far ahead of them in the time when they're not doing it properly.
Like Arsenal last year when they got like 50 points before the World Cup or something. Wasn't enough. But yeah, mad. Mad team. Like, I saw your unpopular opinion tweet or whatever it was about the charges, and we don't need to go over this ground again in terms of whatever happens with the charges. You know, it's an incredible team because of how it's put together and how they... But like, it is... They are an incredible bunch. And it's like Guardiola was saying there. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying we're going to win the Premier League. I'm not saying we're going to win the Champions League. I'm paraphrasing Pep.
Yeah.
But like, we are there. Like, they're there, they're fighting. Can't ask any more. Fair play. And, you know, we talked about, was it two seasons ago? They came back from the international break and they played away at Burnley. And it was the same thing. I think there was some kind of question about, is Pep nervous? And it's like, he just seems completely at ease with everything because he just knows... The lads are there, they're ready. And, you know, if you don't win a football match, that's football. And God, he'd be pissed off about it at the time, but look, he knows that's football. And he can't ask any more of them. And it's got the results have just got to go and take care of themselves now. And obviously that's the situation they're in. And again, if they get a bit of luck with injuries, then they're laughing. But also, to bring it back to Luton again, you know, if players like Doku, because, you know, I can't remember what game it was, but maybe it was United, maybe it was Luton away, whatever. But, you know, I was thinking, that's him now. Like, just put him on the shelf till next season and then, you know, you can get your second season off to a good start.
Yeah, you've already a few minutes solid, here and there. When
a very solid won. Opening, you know, unusually started very quickly. Fantastic at the start, but it's fizzled out. Fair enough, like, no problem. No arm done. You know, new signing, nobody expected much. But, I mean, he was brilliant again yesterday. And a really good, like, really good goal, but... There did seem to be more threat even before that. And again, you look at that team in a different context. Kanji going into midfield at times. Kovacic, Nunes, Doku. You can imagine City didn't win and we're reading out these names and you're going, oh yeah, they're shit, aren't they? But obviously now you're reading them out and going, oh yeah, fair play, they were good. Yeah, so if you've got people who can contribute like that, you know, we talked about Kovacic playing in midfield the other night at the Bernabeu. It's like, well, he did play for them. Like, how many Champions Leagues has he won? That's the sound of me Googling.
I was suddenly panicking that I realised I didn't know the answer to that question. Yeah,
but I think it's five. Like, four, okay.
Is it three with Real, one with Chelsea?
Yeah, so we got three with Real Madrid and one with Chelsea. Like, that'll do, won't it? Like, that will do. So, guys like that to come in and step up. And look, with Kovacic, you never can be quite sure. Maybe that's just how I feel anyway. You never can be quite sure if he's going to be really good or not so much really bad, but you're not quite sure of the level. There's not the consistency there. But if you plug him into a team like the other night with Grealish, Foden, De Bruyne, Rodri, Bernardo, Haaland, those lads, then you see no reason why he can't make a good contribution. He's no Gundogan, is he? But nobody is. But yeah, it's all kind of bubbling away nicely.
Yeah. Just before we get on to kind of like wider context of the selection there, Sam, as well, because we've had an email on that. I want to ask you, like, Guardiola's extend one more week, extend one more week thing in that clip. Is that just the Catalan for one game at a time? We take it one game at a time. It's Brian's gone and done that one.
I don't know. I do genuinely think there is like a calendar element of get to, like they're waiting for the end of the season and it's just ticking off days. Like, we're knackered. We want this to finish. We want to have our 3 days off before we go and play at the Euros. Like, they are just ready to not drop, but it's the demands are mad. You know, you keep saying the mental demands of playing every 3 days, like almost as big, if not bigger, than the physical demands. Like, it's just this time of the year now. They are knackered, as Rodri kind of says about himself. By the way, Rodri was allowed to stay in Madrid on Wednesday when the City team flew back, and he went back on Thursday night because the players had a day off on Thursday anyway. So I'm not saying he was like he had any extra rest, but just a kind of nice opportunity to see family and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, put your feet up, do relaxing things on the evening after the game.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, just a bit of extra time at home. So yeah, I think I genuinely think, obviously it is one game at a time, which this is how they approach it anyway, but I genuinely just do think it's a calendar thing. Like, let's just, look, just give me another one, and then look, then we can rest. But obviously they can't rest, but you can lie to them, can't you?
Yeah, that's Simpsons reference time. It's when Homer gives up the beer and he's crossing off the days on the calendar. And he only does it for a month, and then the final day of the month, the cross is just so shaky. That's just how I imagine Rodri's getting through the season.
Yeah, they had similar on Curb when Larry was going out with a woman in AA, and like her sponsor was like, you can't break up with her, like she can't take any more like setbacks. He was just crossing off the day. It was something like 6 months or something. He was just crossing off the days until 6 months were up so he could like break up with her.
Good. Don't think we've had a Curb Your Enthusiasm reference on the podcast yet, so that's the first one, isn't it?
No, although there was one thrown into a recent Brian's Gun, wasn't there, which was very, very well done. I think he must have put together a special Arsenal and Liverpool edition on Sunday evening, which included Joe Biden and George Galloway.
God, that's an only connect sequence.
Where does he get them? Yeah. You think like he must work in, you know, he must like put together like features for Match of the Day or whatever, so he's got like a library of, or like some kind of like list of, this is when managers said these certain words, and you know, maybe he's built them up over the years. But like, how are you finding Biden and Galloway? I suppose if he's got access to some kind of TV archive, then it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, very well done.
That's the end of the free version of Let Me Talk. There is more for members, though. Go to lmtpod.com if you want to sign up for those longer ad-free episodes. Sam, what are members getting in the post-Luton episode?
Absolutely loads. Guardiola, really interesting on Guardiola. A proper, like, deep dive on Nunes, which nobody thought they needed, but hopefully they do. Akanji, Doku, Kovacic and De Bruyne, Doku and Grealish for Real Madrid. I think we all know the answer to that. And a bit on transfers at the end with Musiala and Paquetar.
Yeah, that's all for members. Find out more on lmtpod.com on how to join. As we said before as well, the free versions of Let Me Talk will be stopping at the end of April, so becoming a member will be the only way you can listen to the show after that. It's only £2 a month or £20 for the whole year. You'll be getting 2 months free with that. If you're listening to the free version, get over to lmtpod.com for all the information on how to sign up.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.